Hello, good morning everyone. My name is Esteban Rios. I'm a first year PhD student, and the title of my paper is Novel Turf Type Bahia Grass. I would like to start my presentation by asking you how many of you have ever seen a turf type Bahia grass before? Okay, that's a good number, but for those who have never seen one, my goal today is to present this idea of having a turf type Bahia grass, and I will do that by showing you the results of our field evaluations for model reproduction, seed production, and turf grass performance of 70 genotypes of Bahia grass that resulted in the selection of 10 improved turf type lines. I will show you the results, also the future research that we are going to be conducting for these selected lines, and I will finish my presentation with a summary of the results. So why are we working with Bahia grass? It is found in more than 2 million hectares in the southeastern U.S. because it persists in infertile sandy soils and does not require significant fertilization or irrigation. Additionally, seed propagation is an advantage because it's cheaper and easier to establish compared to other warm season grasses. And it is primarily used for livestock, but also for utility turf and for seed production. Pasphalum notatum is a genus and species, and diploids and tetraploids are the most common ploidy levels. And the main difference between them is the mode of reproduction, for which diploids reproduce sexually, so there is double fertilization. However, the tetraploids reproduce by apomixis, and there is only single fertilization because the embryo develops by parthenogenesis of the egg cell, while there is single fertilization of the polar nuclei in order to develop the endosperm. However, what is the real impact of the mode of reproduction is that after sexual reproduction, we have recombination and we have segregation. However, the progeny of an apomictic plant, they are all basically maternal clones, so they are exactly the same genotype as the mother plant. And that has an impact in our breeding strategies, because for the diploids, we use recurrent phenotypic selection. And for example, TIFTA9 and UF Riara are forage-type cultivars that were developed using this methodology. However, at the tetraploid level, we need to come up with different strategies in order to breed for apomictic species. In Bahia grass, ecotype selection was the most common methodology. In fact, all the tetraploid cultivars are basically ecotypes. Hybridization has been possible after sexual tetraploids were obtained by doubling the chromosome number of diploids. However, all those tetraploid hybrids are basically forage types. Mutagenesis is another approach that Dr. Kevin Kenworth used at the University of Florida, and I presented some of the preliminary data with these mutant turf type lines last year in China. And transgenic Bahia grass has also been obtained, but it's not commercially available yet. So our rationale for our work is related to the sod industry in Florida, and this graph represents the total sod production in Florida in 2007. And we can see that the market is dominated by San Agustin grass, followed by Bahia grass. However, all this sod production in Bahia grass is basically done by cattlemen. So they plant the pastures and they graze the pasture for 2 or 3 years, and then they harvest the sod and sell it for utility turf. Additionally, state and local ordinances in Florida limit the available water for use in landscapes and the lawn fertilization, and some of them even reduce or restrict the use of San Agustin grass in certain areas in Florida. So that creates a huge potential for Bahia grass. However, the current commercial cultivars, they lack color, density, and turf quality, and they start flowering in April until October and produce very tall seed heads. Our rationale also goes back to the article that was published last year in July in the CSA News magazine, that we, the breeders, need to come out with low-input turf gases with improved aesthetic value. So we have the low maintenance attributes in Bahia grass. However, we need to improve the turf performance of the species. And that's why our objectives were focused on studying the reproductive mode, the seed production potential, and the turf performance in terms of darkness, because that will require less mowing, for color, quality, and leaf texture, and also changing the flowering behavior of the species. So we conducted field evaluation at 2 locations in Florida, in Citra and Jay, in a randomized complete block designs with 70 genotypes, including Pensacola, Argentina, and Wilmington as controls. And the experimental lines were composed of wild types from South America and mutant plants that were created after treating Argentina and Wilmington with different mutagenic treatments. In around 2,000 plants were created in 2008, and 3 years later, we selected 40 plants based on leaf color, density, and flowering habits. We studied the reproductive mode by using the ovule clearing technique. So we basically fixed the seed heads at antheses, and we manually extracted the ovules and observed them in the microscope to classify the plants as sexual or apomictic. Seed production was studied by harvesting mature seed heads, and seed set germination and reproductive efficiency were calculated. And reproductive mode and seed production were studied at CITRA in July in 2012 and in J in September 2013. For turf performance, we rated visually the plots for turf color and quality using a 1 to 9 scale, and for flowering using a 1 to 5 scale. And those measurements were taken at CITRA starting in October 2012 until July 2014, and in J in the spring and summer of 2013 and 14. We evaluated the foliage and the seed head height and the leaf texture in July in 2013 and 14 at CITRA. We analyzed our data using general linear mixed models, and we used the RIMO methodology to partition the variance components related to genotypes and environment, and with that we calculated the broad sense heritability for each trait and the genotype by environment correlations. And we used the best linear and variance predictions, which are the genotypic values, to rank the genotypes for each trait, and then we calculated the performance index based on those rankings. Moving to the results, this for the model of reproduction, these four pictures represent the different types of ovules that you can find in Bahia grass. So all the diplodes reproduce sexually because they produce this polygonum type embryo sac, which is characterized by having an egg cell, two polar nuclei, and a bunch of antipodal cells at the callus end. However, all the tetraploids reproduce by apomixis, and the wild types from South America, they reproduce by facultative apomixis, because even in the same ovule, they produce sexual embryo sacs and apomictic embryo sacs. So they have the potential to reproduce by both ways. Argentine, Wilmington, and all the mutants were classified as obligate apomictic because they produce only a post-porous embryo sacs in the ovules. And diploids and tetraploids produce aborted embryo sacs because the meiosis fail and also the apomictic pathway fail. We also observed that these facultative lines from South America, they have a seasonal expression of apospory, meaning that at the beginning and at the end of the flowering season, they tend to reproduce more sexually, so we can use those genotypes as modeling crosses, especially if we make the crosses in the spring and in the fall. For seed production, I'm going to present only the results for seed set and reproductive efficiency. So this graph represents the seed set at CITRA and J, and we can see that at CITRA it was a little bit higher, the seed set, but however, we think that it's related to the time of the year when we harvested the seed set at both locations. The heritability was 0.57, and the GYE correlation is 0.8, meaning that the ranking of the genotypes at both locations is pretty similar. We observed that, in general, most of the genotypes were similar to the controls. However, we identified two genotypes with improved seed set compared to the commercial cultivars. For reproductive efficiency, this graph represents a subset of the genotypes for the reproductive efficiency, and we identified genotypes with a greater reproductive efficiency compared to the three standard cultivars. So these genotypes have great potential for seed propagation. For turf performance, this graph represents the turf color for the data taken at CITRA from 2012 until 2014 in the month of April, July, October, and January. We can observe that in general, all the genotypes had a decline rating in color because of the winter dormancy in Bahia grass. And Pensacola and Argentine had unacceptable color throughout the year. However, we identified that the Wilmington cultivar and some of our selections had an improved color compared to Argentine and Pensacola. A similar trend was found for turf quality, on which Pensacola and Argentine again had an unacceptable turf quality throughout the year. However, Wilmington and our selections had an improved turf quality, especially from September to October. For flowering, this graph represents the ratings from 1 to 5 for the month of April, July, and October. The black line is Pensacola, and the FLW51 is a wild type from South America. And we can see that they start flowering earlier than Argentina and Wilmington. We also identify one genotype, WEMS12, which has a very narrow flowering window, and it produces very few seed heads compared to the controls. And we can see a picture of the plot of WEMS-12, and half of the plot is unmowed to study the turf color and quality, and the other half is unmowed to see the flowering behavior. So we can see that all the genotypes surrounding this plot are fully flowering. However, WEMS-12 doesn't produce any flower in July in Florida. Also, I would like to point out the dark green color and the improved turf quality in this genotype. For the seed head height, we observe a very wide range of variation, and that's reflected in our high heritability value. And we observed that Pensacola produced the tallest seed heads, but also we were able to identify wild-type genotypes and mutant genotypes with shorter seed heads compared to Argentine and Wilmington control. And this is how Pensacola looks like in the summer in Florida. It produces seed heads as tall as 1 meter. And then we have this line from South America that produced short seed heads. However, it produced a very large number of seed heads during summer. And then we have WEMS-12, which produced the shortest seed heads, but also a very few number of seeds per plot. For leaf texture, we also had a very wide range of variation, and we got the highest heritability value for this trait. And we could consider Argentine Bahia grass as a coarse texture Bahia grass, and then Wilmington as a finer leaf texture. And we were able to see that some of our Wilmington mutants had even finer leaf texture compared to the control. So how did we select for the best genotypes in this experiment? We basically use the rankings using the breeding values, and we calculate the performance index by counting how many times each genotype was placed at the top 10 of the group for each trait. So, for example, for WEMS-12, it was placed at the top 10 of the rankings 4 times, but they were all related to turf performance, and this line had a lower reproductive efficiency compared to the standard cultivars, so we need to keep testing these lines for seed production before cultivar release. So our future research is focused on developing the new population of turf-type Bahia grass by using those facultative lines in crosses with the turf-type selections. We also planted a trial in 60% shade, and we are testing for sprigging ability, especially for those genotypes with low reproductive efficiency. We are looking at soil establishment and rooting characteristics of the selected lines, and we are doing field trials for mowing, irrigation, and fertility management. So in summary, we successfully determined the mode of reproduction and identified facultative apomictic lines for using in crosses. We identified genotypes with great potential for seed propagation, and we finally selected 10 genotypes with improved turf color and quality, with reduced flowering, with finer leaf texture, and with lower canopy and seed head height. And with that, I would like to thank you for attention, and I will take any questions.
Time for a few questions.
Yes. Which mutation
method works? The question is which mutation method works the best, and I basically didn't analyze the data like that. When I got into the University of Florida, we just selected the plants phenotypically without looking at the mutation methods, and they are all random. So I think at this time we cannot evaluate which one was the best. Yes.
So you point out that one of the advantages of Bahia is it can be reproduced by seeds, but the best ones you selected don't reproduce very well by seed. So, where is that cutting point?
So the question is related to the seed production for those lines that don't produce many seed heads. We are planting an experiment in Oregon to see if the longer photo period has an effect on that line, and we can produce seed at different latitudes compared to Florida, because we see that in the greenhouse that line under longer days or under longer photo period produce a larger amount of seed heads. Yes.
You said you're putting out sprigging experiments. Can you, is that
going to
work?
The question is related to our sprigging experiments, and we planted them a few months ago. We are hoping that we could propagate vegetatively some of those improved turf type lines, but I guess the sod value of those lines will have to compare to San Agustin grass to be commercially available.
Any more questions? Let's thank our speaker one more time.